athletic competition. It can easily be broken down into two parts: the minutes or hours it takes to complete the event, then weeks, months, and years of joy or heartbreak. Finally, the decades to analyze and debate it. From the press box to press row, Donald Ware will break it all down for you with an in-depth look at historically black college athletics, as well as the biggest news stories and newsmakers of the day. It's time to talk the talk with those who walk the walk. From the press box to press row, here's your host, Donald Ware.
Thank you for making Box to Row a part of your day wherever and however you may be listening on one of our great affiliates across the country. Perhaps you're listening to us on Hot 107.5 FM in Bermuda, or you're listening to us on 99 or Global 99.5 FM in the Bahamas. Thank you for making, again, Box to Row a part of your day. Lot to get to, a whole lot to get to on today's program. As a matter of fact, let me set the table for you. One of the biggest track meets in the country is the Bob Hayes Invitational. And the last couple of years, we've talked about this track meet. Once again, Greg Coleman, former NFL punter, you know, legendary HBCU player when he played at Florida A&M. He's in the Black College Football Hall of Fame. He's the executive director of the Bob Hayes Invitational. He's going to join us today, as a matter of fact, in the next segment to talk about the Bob Hayes Invitational. Also joining us today here on Box to Row, South Carolina State head men's basketball coach Eric Martin going to join us on the program. Big win for South Carolina State. Big victory on Thursday over over North Carolina Central. So South Carolina State and Norfolk State share this year's MEAC title. Who saw that South Carolina State was going to be in the mix? Like, I have to think back, but I don't think, and I'm not 100% sure about this, but I'm not sure if South Carolina State has won a MEAC title since Cy Alexander was the coach there, going back maybe towards the late 90s, early part of the 2000s. We know South Carolina State's football program, legendary under, Buddy Pough, and it continues on. But wow, South Carolina State winning a share of the MEAC title. So again, Eric Martin, the head coach of the South Carolina State Bulldogs, going to join us today on the program. CIAA tournament champion Virginia State won it again last week at the tournament, defeated Bluefield State. Lonnie Blow, the head men's basketball coach at Virginia State, also going to join us today here on the program. Third CIAA tournament championship for Lonnie Blow as the head coach of Virginia State. And remember, he won a title as the head coach at St. Augustine's. He was the first. There's been a couple of that have done it since, but he was the first coach in CIAA history to win a title, a tournament title, with two different teams. So we've got all of that. Plus, you know, I'm going to lay out sort of the scenarios for the SWAC, going to lay out what's happened in the MEAC, as the MEAC has its tournament next week, as does the SWAC also. Look, one thing I did not do last week, and I'm going to do right now, and we're going to shout out the HBCU National Players of the Week. Last week, I missed shouting out Allen Guard Talia Wesley. Had a big-time week for the Yellow Jackets. She averaged 15.7 points, 11 rebounds, and 2.7 steals per game as Allen went 2-0 a couple of weeks ago. And then Jackson State center Shannon Grant Also, from last week, HBCU National Player of the Week averaged 22.5 points, 4 rebounds, 2.5 blocks, and he shot 91% from the field in helping lead Jackson State to a 2-0 record last week, okay, or going back a couple of weeks now. And so Jackson State in really good position right now, or in pretty good position. Southern still controls its own destiny in terms of winning the SWAC regular season. But Jackson State's got an outside shot, got a win on Saturday, coupled with a Southern loss. But Southern's playing Alabama A&M, who's towards the bottom of the SWAC. So I'm not sure if that's going to happen. But Jackson State really started the season out 0-4, right? Had some tough games, some really, really tough games in that non-conference schedule. And Jackson State normally plays a really hard non-conference schedule, rarely even plays at home, and rarely plays like what we've seen the last couple of years. You're seeing more of the mid-major schools playing like the Division II schools, playing like these NAIA schools at home. It builds your confidence, gives you a victory. You give those schools a little bit of money, unlike when you go on the road and you get the money mostly. Now, some of them are going to play. Some of the schools are going to play like schools, or in other words, other, you know, low mid-major programs, right? But Jackson State opted not to go that way. Started the season like 0-4, and has now really come around and has done well in the SWAC. All right, so we'll talk a little bit more about that, and then the HBCU National Players of the Week for this week will begin with Tuskegee guard Halani Cantone. And last week, she averaged 19.5 points, 7.5 rebounds, 4.5 steals, and shot 48% from the field and helping the Golden Tigers go 2-0 on last week. And then South Carolina State forward Drayton Jones. I really like Drayton Jones. He's a sophomore. He's from Houston. He's really upped his game from last year to this year when he was a freshman. And look, he averaged 19.7 rebounds, shot 47% from the field, and 81% from the free throw line, made 22 of 27 free throws, some critical ones, especially in a big victory. Because, again, South Carolina State has played it extremely well this year, right, to challenge Norfolk State. Like, it looked like Norfolk State was going to run away with the MEAC title this year, and that just did not happen. Meanwhile, South Carolina State continued its diligence, continued to play, and all of a sudden, South Carolina State, a share of the MEAC championship. He had some big free throws in the victory, scored 20 points in the victory over Norfolk State, grabbed 8 rebounds, but was 14 of 17 from the free throw line. He's shooting 67% from the free throw line so far this season, yet was 22 of 27, or excuse me, 14 of 17, excuse me, 14 of 17 against Norfolk State. So he was huge when his team needed him the most. So for more information on the HBCU National Players of the Week, you can visit our website at boxtorow.com. Look, I mean, it's a whole lot to talk about. Like, you've only got a certain amount of time because we got 3 guests lined up for us this week. But it's interesting because if I go back 3 weeks ago to NBA All-Star Weekend, and in particular, the NBA All-Star Game, and I was not a fan of the game. I didn't like the game. I didn't like the new format. I thought, you know, part of it, at least for me, was the intermissions that you had in between some of these games, some of them lasting like 15 minutes. But I didn't like the format at all. But I was never down on the NBA in terms of, you know, like Draymond Green that weekend mentioned the NBA is boring, right? Like, I mean, I couldn't disagree with that more. Now, it may be boring to him because he's a player in the NBA who's got a high IQ level. So, yeah, it may be boring to him. And if you get into all the intricacies and the minutiae of the game, maybe to him it is. But for the average fan, it's not. And the NBA couldn't be better in terms of play from what we're seeing right now. Like, did you see the Knicks and Lakers game that went into overtime on Thursday would a game. I would say that the Knicks more so gave that game away or didn't finish the game more than the Lakers won the game. Now, you got to give the Lakers credit. I mean, LeBron James hitting a bunch of three-pointers was huge. Gabe Vincent knocked down some big shots. I really think that Gabe Vincent is one of those X-factor players that's going to be big for the Lakers because he hits big can hit big shots and is a good three-point shooter. Jackson Hayes, we don't talk enough about him as a young guy. Like, he's not going to, you don't have to run plays for him, right? But he's going to give you D. He's a big man. He's going to block shots. He's going to give you points. Like, we're not talking enough about him. And then Luka in overtime, he hit a big-time shot over Cat, shook Cat down, fall-away jump shot. Next possession, one of his patented three-pointers from the left wing, and it was over. And then, of course, now it wasn't quite over because Jalen Brunson is a dog, right? Like, he's a dog, but he's going to, you know, he came up limp with an ankle injury, which is going to be big. And the Knicks just, I was high on the Knicks a couple of weeks ago, but the Knicks just aren't playing well right now. And in that overtime period, as big as Jalen Brunson was, Karl Anthony Towns, not so much, right? Like, that's why you went out and got him, and he played well up until All-Star Weekend. But since All-Star Weekend, Karl Anthony Towns hasn't had the impact for the Knicks. And so I'm a look, if you're a Knicks fan, like, this isn't the season. I thought it may be going back about 3 weeks ago, right prior to the All-Star break. But this isn't the year for the Knicks, unfortunately. Meanwhile, this could be the year for the Lakers. I really like OKC. Shane Gilgeous-Alexander's unbelievable, right? But this, and then you've got Kyrie Irving, who's out for the season for the Mavericks after the Mavericks made that trade. I mean, it is a disaster in Dallas. So the NBA, even before the playoffs, is getting down and dirty. I love what I'm seeing in the NBA. So we've got plenty to talk about today here on Box to Roy. Again, still to come on the program, South Carolina State head men's basketball coach Eric Martin. Also still to come here on the program, Virginia State head men's basketball coach Lonnie Blow. But up next, we're talking about one of the best track and field meets in the country, the Bob Hayes Invitational. I'm on my
own. Hey, everybody, what's going on? This is Anthony Anderson, international movie star and funny mother. Woo-hoo!
Hello, this is Janelle Monae.
Hey, this is Ronda Rousey.
The girl, Rob Campesino, the mic, y'all.
This is Simone Biles.
You know what this is. It's the one and only D-O-double-G.
Hey, y'all. It is the EST of WWE. The strongest, the fastest, the roughest, the toughest, the quickest, the greatest, the best on Box to Rope. Tune in if you want to catch the best BEST interview ever.
For 60 years, the Bob Hayes Invitational Track Meet has provided competitive events, and we're also happy to provide scholarship opportunities, too. Join us for the annual Hall of Fame Gala, March 13th at the Potter's House, and at the James Day Middle School Meet at UNF, March 14th. And don't forget the annual Bob Hayes Track and Field Meet at UNF, Saturday, March 15th. Get tickets and info at bhitm22.org, bhitm22.org. For vendors and partnerships, call 904-222-1075.
BoxToRow.com. Box is the website for all of your HBCU sports needs.
From the game of the week feature to interviews
to the latest news in the world of HBCU sports, BoxToRow.com has you covered.
Ooh. Missed a week of From the Press Box to Press Row?
BoxToRow.com has all the archive shows. Don't forget to check out the All-American teams and weekly media coaches bowls.
From the Press Box to Press Row.
And BoxToRow.com, your HBCU sports leader.
You're listening to From the Press Box to Press Row.
From the Press Box to Press Row.
Box to Box Row. To
Box to Row.
Box to Row.
Let's continue here on the program. And, you know, for the last couple of years, we've talked about the Bob Hayes Invitational, big time event, not just a track meet. As they say, we are more than a track meet. It's a big time event, and it's taking place actually beginning next Thursday with the Hall of Fame Gala. The middle school event is going to be on next Friday, and then the annual Bob Hayes Invitational Track and Field Meet is going to take place Saturday, March 15th, 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. at North Florida. And the executive director, who's a former player in the National Football League, joins us to talk about it. He is Greg Coleman. How are you, Greg? Good to talk with you.
I'm doing well, man. It's good to be here. It's good to talk to anybody during these days and times. And, you know, part of that intro you mentioned, you know, the NFL and all of that stuff. But let me tell you something. It was track and field that opened my eyes to the possibilities of success. I participated in the Bob Hayes track meet as a student athlete. But even prior to that, being a part of the Junior Olympics and all of those things, seeing what was possible was probably one of the most important things that ever transpired in my entire life. Because again, seeing how the other side of the track, what took place and seeing what was possible, man, it was track and field that did that.
Wow, which is why you really wanted to be involved with this as you are as the executive director.
Well, I didn't really have a choice. after being a student athlete at Raines High School here in Jacksonville, and then completing my tenure at FAMU, I became the meet announcer from 1977 up until present time.
Wow.
I think I missed one. That was when my daughter got married many, many years ago. But I would always come back to Jacksonville, even when we lived in Minnesota, would, you know, look forward to the third week in March every year because I knew I would get a chance, number one, to see old friends and family and one hell of a track meet. At one point in time, the Bob Hayes track meet was the largest one-day high school meet in the country. You know, we've shifted from that. You know, a lot of times you have to shift, you have to pivot. Being large was good, but now we're one of the most elite track and field meets in the country. It is called the Invitation for a reason, and we invite the top athletes in the tri-state area, Florida, Georgia, South Carolina. So only the top 60 in each event get a chance to compete in the Bob Hayes track meet. Now, some might say, well, you know, it was good like it was. Well, a lot of things were good like it was, but do you still drive the same car that you drove 20 years ago? Right. Do you still live in the same house that you did 50 years ago? No, we evolve. And to be known as one of the most elite track meets in the country, I mean, honoring the name and the legacy of the great Bob Hayes, who's from Jacksonville, and it was those group of coaches and mentors and teachers who felt that after he won the two gold medals in Tokyo, that the city did not represent or pay homage like they felt that it should be.
Right.
Therefore, they started the Bob Hayes Invitational Track Meet 61 years ago. The organization came into play. This year, we are running the 60th track meet.
Mm.
The 60th year of the Bob Hayes track meet. And believe it or not, D, we've got some of those men, we're honoring some of those men who participated in that first track meet 60 years ago. They're going to be honored at the gala. They're going to be honored at the track meet itself on Saturday. So when we talk about this being more than a track meet, it truly is. And now you got me geeked, man, because, you know, we talk about the Hall of Fame gala, starting with Albert Chester, who was the starting quarterback at that iconic FAMU squad that won the first black college. It was the first black college to win the Division I AA National Championship back in 78 with Rudy Hubbard. Then they went 11-0 the following year. He's being inducted. Justin Gatlin, you know, a retired sprinter. I mean, he is a household name in track and field. You know, he was an Olympic champion in the 100 back in 2004, 2005 world champion. Then Garrett Scantling, a young American decathlete who was, you know, on that 2016 Olympic team. He's going to compete again in 2028. A local kid right here from Jacksonville. I mean, imagine this, competing in 10 events, let alone one. Then we've got Pauline Elaine Davis Thompson, a legendary Bahamian Olympian, competed in 5 Olympics, which is probably almost unheard of. She's been inducted. And then we got Tawana T.T. Terry, a Bob Hayes champion herself when she was running for Miami Northwestern, but also most notably known for being the second leg of the 4x100-meter relay in Paris, where the women took the gold. So those are the folks that we are honoring being inducted into the 2025 class of the Bob Hayes Hall of Fame, man. And I'm going to take a pause right here. You know, I'm going to take my pulse and settle down just a little bit. But it's an exciting time, not only for the organization, but the city, the community, the entire First Coast community. It's more than a community. It is celebrated throughout the entire First Coast community.
No doubt about it. That, the voice, of course, of Greg Coleman. He's the executive director of the Bob Hayes Invitational. Also played 12 seasons in the National Football League and a Florida A&M legend. And also in the Black College Football Hall of Fame, as he joins us here on Box to Row as we talk about the Bob Hayes Invitational. We are more than a track meet. Speak to that, Greg.
Well, last year, let me back up. When one of the founders and the meet director, Coach Day, who was my high school track coach, the meet director, one of my mentors, tutors, one of my dear friends, would always say, man, when are you going to come back to Jackson? When are you going to come back home and help me with this Bob Hayes track meet? I said, Coach, you got this. This is your baby. And no, man, I need some help. Come on back and help me. Well, we made a decision to move back to Jacksonville 3 years ago. Retired from corporate America, retired from the Vikings radio broadcast, left my kids and grandkids up in the snow in Minneapolis to move back to sunny Jacksonville. Well, 2 weeks prior to the 2023 meet, my legendary coach, mentor, friend, decided to take a permanent nap 2 weeks before the Bob Hayes. Well, obviously, everybody started to look at me. I don't know what I was, but I was in a position to take the bull by the horns. That executive directorship was placed into my lap, and we did the best thing that we knew what to do. And that was run a track meet. And I will never forget that before Bob Hayes passed, he said, Coleman, I don't care what you do, but you keep this about the kids. Now, I don't know why Bob singled me out to tell me that. Now, I'm still living in Minnesota. You've got tons of people down here, but he calls me out. Whatever you do, keep it about the kids. So he was prophetic in those words. Coach Day saying the same thing. Hey, baby, whatever you do, keep it about the kids. The other big thing, you talk about the partnerships that we have. Man, right here, Fox 30, TV 47 here in Jacksonville, we're going to be streaming the entire meet live on Saturday, the finals, all over the world. So, you know, whatever that is in your community, find out. We'll have that information up on the website where you can find us. The Bob Hayes Invitational will be streamed live worldwide Saturday, March 15th. So, hey, man, I am so excited. I really appreciate you giving us the opportunity to share with your audience about this legendary human being, the only human being, talking about Bob Hayes, the only man that God allowed to walk the earth, the only human to ever win 2 Olympic gold medals and a NFL Super Bowl ring that has not been duplicated by anyone else in human existence.
That is so awesome. I'm going to tell you, for more information, you want to visit BHITM22.org. You can buy tickets. You can donate. You heard Greg mentioned about the scholarships, and it's always, and you heard it mentioned, 61st running of that. This is absolutely awesome for not only the city of Jacksonville, but for Duval, and really nationally, as he mentioned, one of the best track meets in the country. The executive director of the Bob Hayes Invitational, Greg Coleman, joining us here on Box to Row to talk Bob Hayes Invitational. Greg, really appreciate the time. I got to say this. Look, it's very rare when two of your former teams do really well in one season. I'm talking about the Commanders, the old Redskins, and the Vikings. I mean, they both had great seasons this past year.
Yes, they did. And there were a few adjustments away of making it to the Super Bowl. You know, it's a team that's able to shift and pivot and to adjust, adapt, and execute a different game plan. You know, but I could not leave here without thanking some of our partners here. Sure. You know, first of all, the mayor of Jacksonville, Donna Deegan, the city of Jacksonville, the city council, Pepsi, Best Bet, Community First, BSN, Pinnacle Bank, University of North Florida, the list goes on and on and on. I don't call these people sponsors. I hate that term because a sponsor is somebody that can write a check and walk away. But when you partner with an organization or someone, man, that means that you stuck like Chuck. You know, you with us through the good times and through the bad times. Man, come on out, get your tickets, go online. It's going to be a great weekend. And we are almost sold out a 400-seat auditorium at the Potter's House in Jacksonville that's going to be a gala. We don't have banquets anymore. We have converted that sanctuary into something that the Oscars and the Emmys and all of those folks would be envious of because it's more than a track meet, baby. It's an experience. So go online, donate. We also have a golf tournament that's tied in with this. We moved that to May 5th, and that also brings in funds for the scholarships. Man, we're doing more than just giving the kids a place to run. We're changing lives. We're changing generations with the things that the Bob Hayes organization and the community and the city of Jacksonville is doing. And trust me, during this day and time, our young people are going to need all the help that they can get.
Very well said, Greg. We appreciate the time.
Appreciate you too.
And for more information on the Bob Hayes Invitational, tickets, etc., you can go to BHITM22.org. Virginia State head men's basketball coach Lonnie Blow is up next.
You're listening to From the Press Box to Press Row.
Here with Stephen Curry, your progress from Davidson to now with Golden State.
Where I've come from in high school into a small D1 college at Davidson, and it's a great story, and I'm just having fun, you know, living my dream and riding the ride.
Main event! Jey Uso joining us here. Could there be a possible return to the bloodline?
For me?
Yes. At some point.
I'm gone, D. Hey, I threw the deuces up before. I'll do it again, man.
Come on, main event. That's family, man. I mean, I'm not talking about now. I get it. But down the line, like, come on.
Hey, D, you see how they be treating me, man? Come on, man. That something. It be your own family sometimes be doing you wrong, Lou. I gotta go, man. Hey, I'm doing all right by myself.
She's Simone Biles.
Actually really fun, like, to be honest. Had a lot of fun. Like, oh, of course, like, we're in the best shape of our life. We're feeling confident about our body, and we hope that other young girls and women, like, feel that being strong is still beautiful.
The one and only Michael Strahan, and cannot have you on without talking about Texas Southern. Cannot. So how did you ultimately end up at Texas Southern?
Yeah, from Houston. Grew up in Germany. When I was a senior in high school, my dad said, I'm going to send you to stay with your uncle in Houston and get a football scholarship. So I went to Houston. I played at Westbury High School for 1 year. Texas Southern was probably the only school that saw me play, being right there in Houston and being a local boy. And Coach Walter Highsmith, I went over to see him, and he offered me a scholarship. It was perfect for me, man, to go to the HBCU, to go to Texas Southern. The size of the school, the education they gave me, not just in the classroom, but about life. I would have been swallowed up at another school. I wouldn't have felt as if I really could have made a difference or had a real purpose of being there. But at Texas Southern, I always felt like I could make a difference and I had a purpose.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Skylar Diggins of the WNBA. Thank you for having me. I'm excited. You know, just been able to work a lot on my body and my shape and a lot of things that I feel like I needed to work on in the offseason. I was able to get that done, and, you know, it's showing.
Snoop Dogg is on the mic. Pay attention.
I appreciate the love that I get, and I appreciate
the sport of hip hop, and it's given me back that same love in return, you know, for the amount of years that I've been doing it. I've always went into it with the same, you know, spirit of I make music for the people. I make it go for them, and I always make them a part of it. I never separated myself and tried to be a star. I've always wanted to be one of the people that you can look to as somebody that was, you know, like your uncle because of the way that I treat people. And I feel like my career is representative of that. That's why the longevity is there. That's why the love is there. And that's why I maintain the status of, you know, being relevant for so many years.
I'm talking about none other than Serena Williams.
That was definitely one of the better matches I've ever played. I've had it just like that. You know, I was really focused, just really, you know, excited.
Demetrius Flannery, a.k.a. Lil Meech.
He sent in Atlanta, told me that he was going to move me from my hometown, Miami, to L.A., put me in acting classes, and I had to go 5 days a week, 2 times a day. Only had about a year and a half, but once I started, I didn't want to stop, you know, so once in a lifetime opportunity, I didn't want to watch somebody else, you know, get the role of playing my father and me having to watch him on TV. Opportunity passed me by, so I just buckled down and just focused, man. Put everything to the side and made sure that my number one thing that I wanted to do was focus on being the best possible actor I can be for the show. And that's how it happened.
That is the voice of Kevin Durant.
Oh, yeah, well, I'm just, you know, trying to get better every single day. We've been through a lot as a team, and I enjoy playing with a great group of guys. So, you know, I'm just trying to enjoy every moment of it.
That is the voice of Common. You went to Florida A&M.
Oh, FAMU days were some of the best days of my life. I mean, I had so much fun there. It was, like, invigorating. It was an introduction to a new aspect of culture in the world. I mean, the Southern girls is just incredible. you know, the food was great. The black college experience, you can't beat that.
Kyrie Irving.
Playing at Duke for Coach K. What was that like and how that prepared you for the league now?
Playing 11 games, you know, a lot of people think that's not a, you know, big package for you to become a better player. But for me, it was. Playing for Coach K, he gave me the keys to the car, and I was driving it in first 8 games, and, you know, being a part of something special like that and having a brotherhood built at an institution such as that one is an experience that you never forget.
Ice Cube has been our guest.
Hey, man, thanks for letting me talk a little music, movies, and sports. Hey, my favorite 3 topics.
Hey, y'all, it is the EST of WWE, the strongest, the fastest, the roughest, the toughest, the quickest, the greatest, the best on Box to Row. Tune in if you want to catch the best BEST interview ever.
From the Press Box to Press Row is the sports talk show that is the voice and the talk of HBCU sports, with a flair for pro sports talk and entertainment. Check the show out online at BoxToRow.com.
That's Box to Row, real, relevant radio. The Virginia State Trojans are the 2024-2025 CIAA tournament champions. In his 11th season as the head men's basketball coach of the Trojans is Lonnie Blow. 3 championships with the Trojans, 1 with St. Augustine's, for a total of 4. And as a matter of fact, you look at coaches like Luke D'Alessio, currently of Fayetteville State. You look at Cleo Hill, formerly of Winston-Salem State. All have won multiple championships, but there can only be one that has done it the first time, and that was Coach Blow at St. Augs and Virginia State. Now, as he joins us here, coming off that CIAA Tournament Championship victory on Box to Row. What's going on, Coach Blow? Welcome back to the program.
Thank you, man. Happy to be here.
Absolutely, man. Another championship. And we'll talk about, at least for me, what makes it even more special as far as I'm concerned. But your thoughts on winning your 3rd CIAA Tournament Championship as head coach at Virginia State?
Really special, man. You know, it's a really special season for us. You know, just the way the season has gone, it's been a really good year. We've been really good most of the year. We started off slow, 1-3. Then we go on a, you know, winning streak where we win 7 out of 8 and go into Christmas break feeling good about ourselves, you know, at 8-4. Then we come off the break, win 4 more in a row, and, you know, we're 12-4 and we're feeling good. And then we hit a skid where we lost 3 conference games in a row. And I think, you know, losing those 3 games kind of helped us, you know, grow a little bit, because adversity, you know, we're big on, you know, tackling adversity instead of running from it. So, you know, I think that those 3 games and the adversity of those 3 games kind of got us all together and brought us together even closer. And at that point, I think we started defending better. And I think that's kind of, correlated with our winning streak, our 8-game winning streak, coming off that 3-game losing streak. But it's been a really good year for guys just staying together through tough times. You know, we've never hung our head or pointed fingers. This group is battle tested during tough times.
How can you've always been? I've always known you as a defensive coach. You've always had really solid players. How, I mean, look, this is a Bluefield. You beat Bluefield State in the championship game. Like, this is a team that's averaging like close to 90 points a game. You hold them to 64 points. What was the recipe behind that, to holding that high scoring team, who's always been a high scoring team, to just 64 points?
Well, first of all, we knew they like to get out in transition and, you know, run and attack the basket and try to get numbers in transition. So our number one goal was to get back on defense and not give them any easy buckets and make them play against our half-court defense, whether, you know, we were playing man-to-man or zone. We wanted to make sure we made them play five-on-five as opposed to, you know, coming out in transition and having a numbers advantage on us. So I thought we did a really good job of making them, you know, play five-on-five. And, you know, a couple ways of doing that is obviously scoring the ball and putting it in the basket, but it's also, you know, not turning it over to get them any live ball turnovers that gets them out in transition. So I thought we did a good job of that initially, but I thought we also did a good job of guarding them in the half court. And again, our defense has gotten better the last few weeks, and you know, it's the perfect time for it. But I think the guys understand what we're trying to do on defense now, and just the effort and the, you know, and the focus is a little better.
No doubt about it. Lonnie Blow, in his 11th season as the head men's basketball coach at Virginia State, he joins us here on Box to Row. So let me ask this. Is there, because you're right, I mean, when you look at the totality of the season, started off great. I was at the game at Shaw. You lost, but then you rebounded, went on that winning streak. Then you lost three straight games. Was there maybe a turning point in the season?
Not necessarily, unless you know, we could say it's losing those three games in a row, you know, because, you know, I think that really, you know, that really kind of got our attention, because we knew we were better than that. So we just kind of kept stuck with it, man. I think all year long, you know, we just stuck with it. Even when we started off 1-3, we didn't panic, you know. We just kind of stuck to the process, kept working hard every day in practice, and you know, everybody just kind of just kept, you know, just stuck to it. And so I think, you know, after we lost those three games, we just kind of, you know, went back to our details on defense and started guarding better. And, you know, again, our offense is kind of come and gone. Some games we've been really good, some games not so good. But our defense has been pretty consistent, especially since that 3-game losing streak. And so I could probably point at that as the turning point for us, because we kind of just got back to defending big time, and that's really helped us a lot.
I think what's interesting is that you talk about another tournament championship, but it was just 3 years ago that you had your first ever losing season as a head coach. Can you speak to sort of the consistency? Because, I mean, it's been years. Maybe you should have won the tournament championship. You didn't. You won a regular season. But, I mean, can you just speak to sort of the consistency and rebounding from 3 years ago to now being on top of the CIAA?
Yeah. Well, you know, a couple of years ago, obviously, you know, when we had that losing season, you know, we're coming off the COVID year when we didn't play. And the COVID year really took a toll on our program, I think, because we didn't have a season. We were at home all year doing a bunch of Zoom calls and things like that. You know, we had recruited some young men, and, you know, we kind of didn't get to play that entire season. You know, we're big on culture, man, and I think that affected our culture, because not being there, not being in the present and being face-to-face, you know, guys are sleeping in and kind of living how they live and stuff like that. That's not how we do things. So I just think, you know, after COVID, getting back to campus, you know, we had to kind of retool everything and kind of almost start over, because the culture that we had built up over the years, you know, being so successful, you know, it kind of dissipated on us by not having a season. So after that, we were kind of trying to figure it out, man, just trying to figure things out and get our culture back and get young people to understand, you know, how you do anything is how you do everything.
Lonnie Blow, again in his 11th season as the head men's basketball coach at Virginia State. He joins us here on the program, the Trojans, the 2024-2025 CIAA Tournament Champions. You mentioned culture, you mentioned players, you mentioned getting back to how you do things. You're as old school as they come, but I would think that even with that in today's society, the kids today, I mean, there has to be some kind of adaptation, I would think. How have you sort of navigated NIL, the transfer portal, in terms of how you have been able to have success in this program, in particular the last, you know, 2, 3, 4 years?
Yeah. You know, just by embracing it, man, it's a new day. You know, things are so different now than they used to be. So we just embrace it, man, the transfer portal and all that, and do the best we can to try to, you know, get the best kids we can. And the way things are now, you know, it's kind of, you know, I call it the Wild Wild West, you know, and each year you may be putting a new team together. You know, those days of kind of having a lot of guys back from year to year, you know, have kind of gone by the wayside. So you got to kind of adapt on the fly, man, and be ready to kind of, you know, look at what you have this particular season. So, you know, in the past, you'd kind of put your system in place, and you know, every year you'd kind of do the same thing. Those days, again, kind of gone by the wayside, because you've got a new group, a new crew, new players a lot of times, and you got to adapt your system to the team that you currently have this season. So, you know, coaches that's been doing this a lot, you know, junior college guys, and a lot of coaches like us that's been recruiting a lot of junior college guys, you know, we kind of have a leg up on those coaches that haven't been doing it, because trying to, you know, start over every year and, you know, figure it out and figure out what concepts would be better for this group, you know, is a challenge. It's a challenge. But, you know, we kind of welcome it, man. Again, we embrace it, and, you know, every year. Sometimes you get, you know, you get the right guys in, you get some fresh character, some fresh blood, and some fresh enthusiasm in the program. So, you know, we really embrace the transfer portal and the way things are going now. And you just got to do your homework. And make sure you try to get the right people in place, man, because sometimes, you know, it's a reason why guys are in the transfer portal, and there's a reason why guys have gone to 4 different high schools and 3 or 4 different universities. So you got to be careful and try to get the people that want to come in and do the right things and compete hard and be a good teammate and try to put winning first. You know, there's a lot of other stuff going on now where winning is kind of taking a back seat for a lot of young people because of, you know, highlight culture, transfer portal, you know, the selfishness of it. So winning is kind of, you know, taking a back seat. So you want to try to get guys that want to win. You know, everybody will say they want to win, but, you know, don't tell me you want to win. Show me you want to win by the way you play the game. So that's kind of how we've done it.
Yeah, a couple of more thoughts. Lonnie Blow, the head men's basketball coach at Virginia State. I look at these, like I've watched you over many, many years. I look at these numbers. So your team is shooting 46% from the field. You're holding opponents to 40% shooting, which is good, particularly when you're talking about the CIAA. You're shooting 35% from three. You're holding opponents to 28% shooting. You're shooting 74% from the free throw line. You're out-rebounding opponents by almost 7 a game, and you're outscoring opponents by more than 6 a game. Is this as good a team as you've had?
That's a good question. you know, we've had some really good teams, so it's kind of hard to compare. You know, I just think that, you know, when you start comparing teams, you know, you just got to be careful, because every year is different. Every year your competition is different, you know. So this team is, I think this team in its own way is a little different. But it also is similar, because like you just went over those stats, you know, this team defends like a lot of the teams from the past. You know, our defense has kind of picked up, like I said, late in the year here. And so from that aspect, yeah, I think that we're really, really similar, and we're right up there with a lot of those teams. Now, I think offensively, probably we're not as consistent as some of those teams we've had. 2019 team was really good. 2016 team could really score the ball. You know, those guys were really talented. But I think that this year's team has been kind of different in the aspect that you know, we kind of rely a lot on Jacob Cooper.
Yep.
You know, he's done a lot for us, not just scoring the ball, but, you know, he's probably leading the conference in assists and has a really high assist-to-turnover ratio. So he kind of makes it easy for guys. And I think Kendall Bynum, you know, the other guard that plays with him a lot, those two guys are basically point guards. And we play with two point guards a lot. And I think that that's kind of different for us. A lot of times we've got, you know, more wing scorers and stuff like that on the floor, the more size on the wing. But playing those two point guards allow us to be, you know, really efficient, you know, really good. Those guys create shots for themselves and other people. And so this team's a little different in that, you know, perspective that we play to those two point guards, and the offense is a little different than it's been in the past, but we can still score the ball. It's just done a little differently.
Again, Lonnie Blow in his 11th season as the head men's basketball coach at Virginia State, joining us here on Box to Row. The Trojans are the 24-25 CIAA tournament champions. That makes three, count them, three tournament championships for Lonnie Blow in his 11 seasons at Virginia State, four overall, and the Trojans will wait to see who they will play in the regional on next week. Coach Blow, always great to catch up with you. Always appreciate the time. We'll be watching the Trojans and looking for success in the regionals next week.
Thank you, man.
Appreciate it, Coach Blow. Up next here on Box to Row, South Carolina State head men's basketball coach Eric Martin. Keep it locked.
For 60 years, the Bob Hayes Invitational Track Meet has provided competitive events, and we're also happy to provide scholarship opportunities too. Join us for the annual Hall of Fame Gala March 13th at the Potter's House and at the James Day Middle School Meet at UNF March 14th. And don't forget the annual Bob Hayes Track and Field Meet at UNF Saturday, March 15th. Get tickets and info at bhitm22.org. bhitm22.org. For vendors and partnerships, call 904-222-1075.
We track down the names making news in sports from the press box to press row. It's Donald Ware from the press box to press row.
Let's continue here on Box to Row. We're joined by a gentleman. As a matter of fact, he's in his third season as the head men's basketball coach at South Carolina State. He and his team have done something that has not been done in over 20 years, and that is to win the MEAC regular season, or at least a share of the MEAC regular season. Eric Martin, again, third season as the head men's basketball coach at South Carolina State, joining us here on Box to Row. Big win for South Carolina State over North Carolina Central on Thursday, and of course a bigger win, if you want to look at it that way, against Norfolk State last week, as Coach Martin joins us here on Box to Row. Coach Martin, congratulations. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Appreciate you having me. Thank you. I'm once again, to win a piece of a championship or championship is great, and it hasn't been done here in over 20 years, so I'm blessed. Thank the good Lord, and I can't wait to get ready to try and win the MEAC tournament so we can go dancing next week.
Absolutely. And you know something about tournaments, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. Just your thought. I want to get your thoughts. I mean, you left no doubt in the victory over North Carolina Central. Your thoughts on the way your team performed?
Yeah, we knew it was at hand, and I told them, hey, this is one of the three teams that have beaten us, so this is a revenge game. We need to beat them for revenge. Now, anything else that comes with this victory, so be it, but let's not look at this as a championship game. We need to beat them because they're one of the three teams that beat us. We might see them again. We need to beat them. And so that's how I kind of lined it up after we beat Howard, because, you know, it's scuttlebutt around, oh, this is a championship. No, the championship game really was beating Norfolk, and then we were fortunate to have Central clip them, which put us in the situation. But we need to beat Central because we need to beat Central.
South Carolina State head men's basketball coach Eric Martin in his third season joins us here on Box to Row. The Bulldogs have a share of the MEAC regular season going into next week's MEAC tournament. I look at this is your third year. First year, and the program was in a decent place, I would say, prior to you getting the job. 5-26 the first year, very, very tough. 2-12 in the MEAC. Then the next year, such an improvement, and I think teams, you know, I think people saw you coming. I mean, to have that kind of turnaround, a 9-win turnaround and a 9-5 finish, tied for second in the MEAC to get to where you are now. Can you speak to how you've been able to really build this program?
Yeah, that first year I got in, I got hired on July 17th, and I didn't get on campus till maybe the end of July, start of August. So the portal had been gutted. I didn't know what I had here, and I signed kids, but I can say now they were just signing kids because I needed to field a team. So after that first year, you know, one thing about myself and I think my team, anyone who around me will let you know, I'm an accountability guy. So on that 5-26 season, I looked in the mirror and said, that's on you. You need to fix some things. You need to get better players. I went out and got better players. I think I upgraded my staff, and things just started to happen. I think everyone will tell you it's not about the X's and the O's. It's about the Jimmys and the Joes, and I got better players that year. And so that contributed to the jump in going from 5-14 wins. As far as this year, I had 8 players returning, and I would venture to say that I had more returning players than any other school in the United States of America.
Yeah.
Why those 8 came back when some of them could have gone in the portal? I laugh and say it's probably because of my bubbly personality, but the reality is I think the way we lost to Delaware State in the tournament after having such a great year and we had already beaten them twice, and to lose like that, I think it left a bad taste in all those guys' mouth. And I tell guys this at the end of the season, if you need to make a business decision and go in the portal, I understand that. Everybody, 8 of my 10 wanted to come back, and they were the right 8. And
yeah, part of that, you know, that gauntlet of a non-season schedule, a non-conference schedule to start the year, I'm sure certainly helps that. You mentioned players and Jimmys and Joes, right? Like you said, okay, after that first year, I had to go out and get players. One of the players you went out and got is Drayton Jones. He's the reigning HBCU National Player of the Week. Wow, you look at his numbers last year, and you look at the way he's performing this year, and I was speaking about it a little bit earlier on in the program. I mean, look, this is a kid that shoots, 67% from the free throw line? In the game against Norfolk State, he's 14 of 17 in a must-win game for you. He's really gotten it done. Can you speak to how he's played? He's a sophomore from Houston. How he's played for you so far this year?
Yeah, he's been, I think he's the conference player of the year, although I'm sure they'll give it to Blake Harper. But he's someone who last year he struggled. Everybody doesn't come into college ready to play college and be in college minutes and play in that environment. So his last year was bumpy. Drayton didn't even make all MEAC all freshman team. So he struggled. But once again, he went home this summer, put in the work, came back, and we talked when he got back, hey, I'm going to throw the ball inside. That's why I brought you here. I didn't just bring you here to rebound. And he was up to the challenge. He had a few 20-point games. He had 34 versus Charleston Southern. So he's done the work on his own. You got to give him credit. And to not only Drayton but my team, I challenged them after the Howard game that we won on the road and say, hey, man, you guys have all this free time. What we're going to do is you guys are going to shoot free throws every day. And in our group chat, you're going to put in there how many you made and how many you made in a row. And let's have a winner for the day. And that has gone, and that has contributed to us shooting better because guys are competitive. One day a guy said, I made 100 out of 106, and I made 52 in a row. Well, a teammate be like, I'm going to beat that. So that competitive nature helped not only Drayton but my team improve their free throw shooting. And, I mean, it's like I said, free throw shooting has been a reason that we've won these 9 straight games. Yeah, we've defended well, and some games we've shot it better than others, but free throws win you games in March.
Eric Martin, the head men's basketball coach at South Carolina State, joining us for a couple of more moments here on the program. What is it going to take? You mentioned a disappointing loss in the tournament last year to Delaware State, who ended up playing in the conference championship game. What is it going to take this time around for you, your team, to win the tournament championship?
Yeah, I think we have to stay focused on who we are and what we've been, which is defense, pressing, rebounding, getting some buckets in transition. But I'm an old school coach. I want to play inside out. I want to throw that ball to Drayton and let him do his thing and everyone play off of him. And I say this to my team also, I want to play inside out. I don't have to throw it to Drayton. If I got a mismatch with a guard, I'm going to take him and put him on the block. I just think those are 50 to 60% shots as opposed to three-point shots with the 35 to 40% if you're elite. But and I don't have a problem taking threes, but I have always said I will play the old-fashioned way, which is let's throw that ball inside if I have someone to throw it to and let him eat. And then everyone else just eat off of what he's done.
And then last thought, Coach Martin, we appreciate the time. Look, I remember when you played at Cincinnati, those Cincinnati teams, Nick Van Exel, those were some really, really good teams, you know, under Bob Huggins. Just can you talk a bit about, because after your playing days, because you played some Pro Bowl also, you got into coaching and you were with Bob Huggins for, I don't know what, 15 years maybe, something like that at West Virginia. Yep. Yeah, so just speak to that and what Bob Huggins means to you.
Well, Bob Huggins is my mentor. He's had a direct effect on my coaching style, even in my sideline. My first year, I got thrown out of two games, and then I kind of realized, hey, Eric, you're not Huggs. So you probably need to go and find your own style. It's easy to do that because that's what I've seen for 15 years, but I'm not Huggs, but I know I've taken certain characteristics from him, which have allowed me to, you know, to be successful here. Defense and rebounding is something that I learned from Coach Huggins. And as a player, I didn't play the first part of my career because he said, if you don't play defense or rebound, you won't play. And I said, Coach, I scored a ball, you'll play me. And I can't remember what game it was. He sat me the entire game, and message sent. From that point on, I was like, let me do this defense stuff first, and we'll worry about the scoring later. So he has been a direct influence on my coaching career, and we don't speak as much as we probably should, but he always says, hey, you call me when you need me. But it seemed like you kind of got things going in the right direction, so do that. And I think the best advice he gave me was, you know, when in doubt, follow your gut. Most of the time your gut is right, and even when you're wrong, you know you went with your first instinct, and that's a part of coaching. And he said that'll get better the more you coach and the longer you coach. So I'm just so happy to have gotten a piece of this MEAC championship. I know this is for not just the state of South Carolina, it's not our South Carolina State, it's also for the city of Orangeburg, which has supported our team. So I'm so happy. But when I woke up today, it's time to get ready for the MEAC tournament. So I'm going to enjoy the rest of this morning, and I'm going to start watching film on Coppin so we can bring home that trophy next week.
Yep, South Carolina State, a share of the MEAC regular season, will take on, as mentioned, the number two seed, are the Bulldogs, will take on South Carolina State in next week's MEAC tournament. In his third season as the head men's basketball coach of the South Carolina State Bulldogs is Eric Martin, who's joined us here on Box to Row. Coach Martin, we appreciate the time. Good luck to you and the Bulldogs in the MEAC tournament.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me and giving me an opportunity to get some notoriety for my program. I mean, it's shows like this that really that we need, HBCUs need, because we don't have the, you know, the publicity that some of the Power Five schools do. So I appreciate you taking time to have me, and I wish you nothing but the best of luck for your show. And once again, I'm open for you whenever you have time, and we'll have me. Thanks again.
Appreciate you, Coach Martin. Eric Martin, the head men's basketball coach at South Carolina State, joining us here on the program. Let's give the ladies some love. Congratulations to Norfolk State. Went undefeated in MEAC play. Going to be the number one seed in next week's MEAC Women's Tournament. First team to go undefeated in conference play since North Carolina A&T did it. And while we're on it, congratulations to the North Carolina A&T Lady Aggies. Clinched at least a share of the CAA crown with the victory on Thursday over William & Mary, and a win on Saturday in Greensboro. And the Lady Aggies will be outright CAA champions in just their third year in the CAA. Look, my time is about up. I thank you for yours. Thank you to Eric Martin, the head men's basketball coach at South Carolina State. Thank you to Lonnie Blow, the head men's basketball coach at Virginia State. Thank you to HBCU legend Greg Coleman, the executive director of the Bob Hayes Invitational, all for joining us today here on Box to Row. For more information on the program, visit our website, boxtorow.com. And always remember to support those that support your box. Toro is produced by DW Communications.